Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yet another Friday, subhanallah. Time really passing us by very, very quickly. Ahlan wa sahlan, marhaba, a warm and hearty welcome to the program Friday Fusion with me, Zakira and Samia. The first Friday Fusion program for this year. And subhanallah, it's been absolutely fun to keep you company Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday this week. So the fourth program for the week, but definitely the first Friday Fusion for the year. So what exactly can you look forward to on the 6th of January, the 7th of Rabiul Akhir? Well, what we're going to be speaking about today is something very pertinent, something important, and to all the parents out there, I think it's something that perhaps we need to take a listen to so we could change our perspectives if our perspectives are not yet, if our mindsets rather are not yet made, and that is with regards to our children's Islamic education. So it is the beginning of the year. In a few days' time, next week, some Tuesday and others on Wednesday, will be going back to school. Depending whether your child obviously attends a private or public school, kids will be going back to school sometime next week. But as much as we've taken out the time to choose a good school for our children, and whether we've also chosen for them an Islamic school, ensuring the ethos is Islamic of the school, have we taken out time to choose a good madrasa for our children? I'm speaking about an afternoon madrasa, so your basic maktab, if I could call it that. Have you taken out time to find a good maktab for your child this year? Well, that's what we're going to be speaking about on the program today. We're going to be speaking about why it's important that your child attends a good maktab, no matter which school they go to, Islamic or whether it be an Islamic school or whether it be a normal public school. No matter which school your child attends, it is very important for our children to be going to an Islamic afternoon maktab. And why is that? We're going to be tackling that. Then we're also going to be speaking about, as a parent, you know, this time of the year is often, or alhamdulillah, some of us who are very good at pre-planning and putting things together well before time, may have even done this before we went on holiday, that is, got the stationery, got the school backpack, whatever books needed to be covered, the books were covered, all these kind of things were already done. Those little labels were made out with the child's name to put on all their stationery pieces and perhaps even on the uniform and their shoes and whatever it may be, right? And all that is in its place. And really, as a child, I remember how excited I used to be for the first day of school because everything was brand new. So I'm sure the kids feel the same way about the first day of school. But my question is, how much effort do we put into our children coming to madrasa? When we speak about the maktab or the madrasa that your child is going to be attending, firstly, how much effort did you put into choosing one? And if your child is already attending one, was already attending one last year, and they will be continuing at the same place, then my question is, how much effort have we put into selecting a madrasa bag for them, ensuring they have the required stationery? And you know, one of the things as a teacher at a madrasa, I can tell you that really, really irritates me is when children come, mashallah, you know, it's the first day of madrasa, you're so excited to see them and you give out their books and whatever, and perhaps it's even gone into the first week, I could say. And you give them an activity and they like, oh, Mualima, I don't have any crayons or color pencils, or never mind crayons or color pencils, I don't even have a pen or a pencil in my madrasa bag. And you're thinking to yourself, I'm sure you have a pencil case full of stationery in your school bag that's all brand new. Why is the same importance not given to madrasa? And why isn't a similar pencil case filled up with all the stationery put into the madrasa bag? And why is the child not equipped in a similar manner like they are for school? Now, without generalizing, I'm sure there are some parents out there, mashallah, who take, you know, who painstakingly take a lot of effort and, they do the same for both the child's madrasa education as well as for school. And really, if you are one of those parents, hats off to you, well done, because this is how it should be. This is how it should be. And later on we're going to be speaking about why this attitude of yours has such a profound effect on your child. And when I speak about this attitude, I speak about this attitude that you have to their madrasa education. Whether you show them that it's important or not, and how this impacts on their learning ability at the institute. So that's what we're going to be speaking about this afternoon, this Friday afternoon. Nothing too heavy as such. We're trying to keep it as light as possible, and the reason I'm doing that is because I know it's that last relaxed Friday lunch. So perhaps you've had your dal and rice, or you've had your teri khichdi, or your biryani, or your akhni, whatever it may have been that you had. And you're just chilling and you're relaxing with the family, and yeah, you're taking it nice and easy because this is the last Friday that everyone can sit around just doing whatever they want to do before it's, you know, immediately after lunch the kids need to be taken off to madrasa, and you know, there's like the strict routine. Before lunchtime, the kids were picked up, they were dropped off, you ensure that the boys went off to masjid, your sons went off to the masjid, you ensure that the girls were done and ready. You know, so it's, by the time you get into a routine sometime next week, it's going to feel like you've been in it forever. So this is literally your last Friday that you're sitting back and relaxing and chilling and just doing things as you like to do it. So yeah, we're going to keep things pretty light. But at the same time, I'd love for you to interact with us on the program. The number to dial is 011-854-1548. Or if you need to send me a WhatsApp message, then it's 061-406-2688. Now, it is also season for Umrah. Well, nowadays, subhanAllah, there's never one specific season. There's seasons for Umrah all throughout the year, I should think, because you know, unlike when things were back in the day in the past, where there was like selected and set seasons when people went for Umrah, nowadays, mashallah, people are going throughout the year, and with the December holidays, it is also one of those times when people love going for Umrah. With that having come to a close, I'm noticing that a lot of people who don't have kids and who can now afford to go for the Umrah without having to deal with the whole my kid missed the first few days of school and all of that, they're all making trips for Umrah. And the reason I'm picking on this, or that I'm bringing this up, is because the questions arise. Yes, 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 the questions arise on what can and can't be done whilst in ihram and all these different types of questions. So if you have any question or query with regards any female masail aspect of your Umrah, you are most welcome to drop me a message on 061-406-2688. We're going to take a short little break, and when we return, inshallah, we're going to go straight into that discussion on why a good maktab? Why does your child need this maktab education? And why should your attitude be one that is optimistic, that makes your child feel excited about going to madrasa on the first day? Welcome back, and yes, today we're speaking the importance of maktab or primary dini education in a child's life. Now, subhanAllah, there have been many articles written on the topic, many opinion pieces, and today I'd just like to share with you a few excerpts from one or two of them. So the first one says, maktab education is ironically the most important and at the same time most neglected institution of primary education. It serves as a lifeline to the preservation and protection of the Islamic faith, yet the number of maktab students is dwindling, and the question is who or what is to blame. Maktab gives children the opportunity to master a syllabus that is the best in the world, to acquaint themselves with the basic laws pertaining to their obligations that they have to discharge on a day-to-day basis. There are many possibilities for the decline in maktab roles. These may include the precedence given to secular education over the maktab, that is Islamic education, It may also be extra tuition during the afternoons that leave little time for maktab education, and the proximity of the distance of expensive private schools that tend to engulf the time it takes to travel, which leaves no time for maktab. In recent times, parents remove their children from maktab at an early age or don't send them at all, with the pretext that homework or extracurricular activities that they have should now take precedence, or that they are now able to read Quran with proficiency and that is sufficient. Many parents, in their quest to empower their children, do so at the cost of their maktab education. Thus, deliberate and neglectful deprivation of Islamic education is an unpardonable breach of parental obligations. This, however, does not pertain to all Muslim parents, as some have their children in Muslim schools which have an Islamic syllabus which cater for the students. However, those that are not attending Islamic schools are supposed to be attending a maktab but are not going, and the question is why? What does this indicate about the priorities of Muslim parents in today's day and age? Well, we're going to stop there with that article, and now I'm going to ask you the question, what you think about this article. This is an article intrinsically written by our very own Faisal Patel, and you can find it on the Radio Islam's website. It speaks about maktab education. Basically, the few points that I'd like to make here. One is that, as Faisal rightly points out in the article, these could be the reasons why many students don't attend a maktab. It could be because the schools that children attend now are much further away, and because the schools are so much further away, it makes it very, very difficult for the parents to drop off and pick up their kids all in time for them to still be able to give the children a good maktab education. The other thing is that schools now may have many extracurricular activities. And when schools have these many curricular activities, it may then encroach on your child's Islamic education. And by you taking the opportunity of giving your child, a chance to do all these extracurricular activities, it's not that per se we're against your child doing any of these extracurricular activities. Actually, it's good. It's very good that children get involved in sport and they do all these type of things, but not at the cost of their dini education. No, this should never be the case. And then obviously it could also be that you feel that because your child has come to a certain level, they don't need to attend maktab anymore, madrasa anymore. The other thing is with regards to the Islamic school. Now, some may have a different view of this. I have a different view on it. I feel that even when a child does attend an Islamic school, some children still do need that afternoon maktab. And the reason for that is because when attending an Islamic school, the child has so many other subjects and they're doing the Islamiyat as part of it all. So sometimes what tends to happen is the Islamiyat, from a child's perspective, the Islamiyat is slotted in with everything else. Whereas I feel that when it comes to a child's dini education, this needs to be done specifically on its own without anything else, so the child can give it their full attention. And when they are giving it their full attention, they absorb more, they tend to remember more about it, and by absorbing and retaining and remembering more, it is easier for them to practice upon what they have learned. Another opinion piece states, the greatest investment any community can make is to invest in their children. Our children are our future, hence, if we invest in today's children and develop them into people who are firm in Iman, who are upright and respectful, and who cherish human values more than material wealth, then such an investment will earn tremendous returns and benefits for us, as well as the greater Ummah. The maktab or madrasa has always played a pivotal role in developing the children of the Ummah. It is at the maktab that our children learn the fundamental principles of Islam that enable them to live and practice as Muslims. In communities where maktab education is not provided, children grow up without knowing the basics of Islam. They are unable to then perform wudu and salah, and in many cases are not even able to recite the kalima properly. Maktab education is essential in the life of every Muslim child, and it is our duty as parents and guardians of our children to ensure that they receive its instruction kindly. So basically this is an opinion piece written by this one written by the Jamiat, which speaks about the importance of a maktab and why every community should have a maktab firstly. Secondly, why when children go without having a maktab, how this can affect them. Now again, children may not be going to a maktab in a certain community, but they may be attending an Islamic school. Hence, the repercussions may not be as bad. The children may still be able to learn how to make wudu, how to pray salah, and they may still know how to recite their kalimas and surahs because of going to an Islamic school. But more so, over and above all of this, I think every parent would agree that it is a parent's duty to start off teaching the children about all these types of things and to engender within children the love for our deen. So yes, that's where it would all start off. It would start off right at the very beginning, where we are engendering this love within our children for deeni knowledge. But at the same time, we must remember that sometimes children find it more difficult to learn things from their own parents than they do they find it more difficult to learn things from their own parents rather than they would learning it from somebody else. So what I'm trying to say is, or what I'm getting at, is that children often are more excited about learning a new surah from somebody else, or learning a new dua from somebody else, or learning about what the correct posture of salah is, or the correct way of performing wudu is, because they look up to their teacher. They look up to their teacher as being someone that they can learn from and they can draw valuable life lessons from. Whereas if a parent is teaching them, it's almost like, yeah, whatever, you know. It's because you are their parents and you're teaching them everything else in life as well. This does not by any means give us as parents the opportunity to say that it is now not our duty anymore to be, sitting with our children and teaching them the way we ought to be teaching them. But at the same time, it would also give us the time, or we should take out some time to think about this and reflect on why it is so important to be sending our children to a maktab. Now that we've understood the importance of it, let's look at a few reasons why we as parents need to make it all exciting for them on the first day of madrasa or the first day of maktab as we would the first day of school. So when we look at our children on the first day of school and when we see how they're so excited about going to school, I can honestly say it has a lot to do, and as a child myself, I know this is how it was. It has a lot to do with the fact that your uniform is new, your backpack is new, the contents of it is all new, your books and your stationery, your lunch bag is new. All these things are so exciting. We even take our time to go and buy snacks the weekend before, buy snacks for our children, buy the appropriate things that we will put onto their lunch sandwiches, whatever it may be, but all to keep them happy, to ensure that on the first day when they do go to school, to madrasa, it's something that is so exciting for them. So, if you are making such a big deal about them going to school, and rightly so, children ought to have this excitement and they ought to feel ready, you know, on this first day, and the last thing you want to deal with is all the whining and the crying and all that unnecessary things, right? So children ought to feel excited about going to school on the first day. But how about we do the same for the maktab? We make sure that if it's a little girl, you buy her a new abaya and burqa. You obviously check with the madrasa what the dress code is for the madrasa. And I can vouch for this as a teacher that, you know, sometimes on the first day or second day of madrasa, first week of madrasa, there are students who come inappropriately dressed and with the simple excuse that, you know, they didn't get enough time to go and purchase madrasa clothes. So they will come perhaps in their uniform with this something thrown over. And, you know, if it's a girl, perhaps the body is not properly covered the way it should be for madrasa. They will perhaps come with a scarf and the hair is coming out in the front where actually they needed to have been wearing a burqa. If it's a boy, they don't have a thobe or a kurta on. They come into madrasa in their school uniform and just putting on their topi. And, you know, this would have to suffice. Whatever it may be, you know, try and make arrangements well beforehand. Find out from the madrasa what the dress code is. Go out and buy the appropriate clothing for the children so that they are as excited on the first day of madrasa as they are for school. Get them their madrasa bag. Ensure that whatever books are required for madrasa are packed into their bag. Cover their books for them. Put on those cute little labels that you buy for their school books. Ensure that you buy them a pencil case for madrasa and stock it just like you would stock the one for school. You know, you may not have to go through the whole list that you did for school, but just ensure that the necessities are there. And I promise you, the teacher at madrasa will also be so happy that this child came so well prepared on the first day to madrasa. And normally with madrasa, I'm not sure how all madrasas work, but sometimes what happens is the child doesn't have their textbooks, so on the first day of madrasa they will get their textbooks. So even when they do get it, within that first week, ensure you take time out to cover them, to make them look decent, so that the child understands, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us in the Quran, وَمَن يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِن تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That, you know, whoever sanctifies those things that are related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that have any sort of link and attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is because of a taqwa and because of this connection and this bond and this link that we feel with Allah. So ensure that you explain to the children why it is important for us to cover our madrasa books, to give our Quran a lovely, beautiful cover, to keep it clean at all times, not to write in it, and even if you have to make little markings for purposes of, you know, putting down the dates, like which day's lesson or whatever, then these things are erased after a period of time. All these type of things. Let's make our children cognizant of all these things so that when they go to madrasa on this first day, they are truly excited about being at madrasa. They are really excited about going and interacting with the teacher, showing off their, you know, new stationery, and you know, they go dressed in such a manner to madrasa that they feel excited about it. They're not shy about the fact that you're putting on for them last year's abaya and, you know, it's riding three-quarter way up and the burqa is too small and the sleeves are riding three-quarter way up. Now, I'm not saying this is the general and this is the norm, but unfortunately, this sometimes does happen. And this happens because we place so much emphasis on the child's you know, school and secular education and all the things that they need for school, that we place the madrasa needs by the wayside and we say, oh, when the first day of madrasa comes, we'll see. You know? Or ensure that the child even takes out time way before the first day of madrasa. Even if you're not getting them a new madrasa bag, or even if they have all their madrasa books, ensure that the child takes out time to clean out their madrasa bag. Even if you're using the same one, have it washed and ironed and, you know, have everything packed back inside it. Have things done so that the child is excited about the first day of madrasa. Have them prepared physically as well as mentally so that they are looking forward to the first day of madrasa like they are looking forward to the first day of school. I think, alhamdulillah, we've sufficiently covered why maktab education, as well as how we as parents can make it exciting for our children, you know, for their first day of maktab. After the ad break, inshallah, we will cover some other aspects on maktab education and looking at, you know, like when we have school education, we look at other angles, like whether we can homeschool our children and all of this. So let's look at other aspects on which type of maktab would be best to send your child to. Would it be best to send them to a big mainstream maktab, or would it be best to send them to smaller individual type one-on-one Quran class maktab? So inshallah, all that and more after the ad break. We're speaking your child's maktab education and why it's so important for you as a parent to ensure that you take active steps in ensuring that your child goes to a good maktab, and making sure that your child's first day at the maktab is going to be a very exciting one. And right now we're going to be speaking about choosing that maktab. So, with regards to choosing that maktab, it may be a tricky decision and it may be a hard choice to make this, because alhamdulillah, in today's time, there are so many to choose from in our area, in our locality, vicinity. And with many of the mummies being able to drive and pick up and drop off the kids, it really doesn't make it that difficult for them to take them to a maktab, even if it may be in the next suburb. So my question is, how then do we choose the best one for our child? Well, this would all depend on your child and what you expect from the outcome. So if you expect, like when you're looking for your child for a school, basically what we look at is which school would give my child the best education, which school would ensure that my child would excel academically, you know, is strict and has a good moral code and all these type of things. So when we look at these type of things for a school, we need to look for similar things. And you know, in case of in the case of a madrasa, I should think it's equally, if not more, important. This is because your child's maktab education is actually a building blocks to their jannah. So when we are building our child's pathway or our child's foundation to jannah, let us ensure that we do so with lots of consideration and due thought. So basically what will happen is, you would go to the various institutes and you'd go and check them out. The better thing to do would be to go before school had closed, to actually see while they are running, how they are running, and whether you like them or whether you know, you have any gripes of whatever sort. But nevertheless, there are still a few days. On Wednesday, when the maktabs normally open, perhaps you have Wednesday, Thursday and Friday to go about and quickly do your homework if you haven't yet done your homework. So go about to whichever maktabs or madrasas they may be in your area, get enrollment forms, read through the enrollment forms, see what the rules and regulations are. Also, speak to the relevant teachers, speak to the principals if need be, understand what, you know, the motivation behind each institute is, what their rules and regulations are like, how they would like for your child to interact with them. You know, all these type of things are very, very important. And who would be in charge of your child at all times, how many students there are in a class, whether your child would be given the one-on-one individual attention that is required for subjects such as Quran, surahs, du'as, practicals like practical wudu and practical salah, etc. So all these things are very, very important. Once you've made your inquiries and once you know whether this institute is reputable enough or whether it is, in your opinion, good enough for your child's dini education, then obviously you can make the relevant steps, enroll your child, and get your child going from day one. But if you haven't yet done your homework, then you, as I said, you still have a few days, and perhaps on the following week, Monday, you could send, you could then send your child to an institute. Another thing that comes up from time to time is, when it's a new year, a lot of parents feel that this is the excellent time for me to now encourage my child, if they are already at a maktab, is to do hifz. And perhaps when we encourage our children to do hifz, this is great, really, subhanallah. Every household, if every household could have a hafiz al-Qur'an, how lovely would this be? Because remember, the reward of a hafiz al-Qur'an is that the parents would be made to wear a crown so brilliant in its luminescence that it would outshine the sun and the moon. More so, this hafiz al-Qur'an would be able to intercede on people on the day of Qiyamah and ask Allah to take them into Jannah. So yes, it's very, it's absolutely lovely for each one of us to have a hafiz al-Qur'an in our home. But let's also understand that all children are not the same. And it's fine for children to be at a mediocre level, and it's fine for children to sometimes not be up there and not, you know, necessarily excel in everything. So perhaps the child doesn't have enough of a memory or attention span to be able to become Hafiz al-Qur'an. Take that in your stride as a parent and understand that and know that it's totally fine. Normally at the beginning of the year, what also happens is many children would enroll in the HIFS program, and then we see 1-2 months down the line it dwindles and the children lose interest, the parents lose interest. And at this point, as a teacher, you feel very, very deflated and defeated because you've been putting so much of effort into this child. Because believe me, as a teacher, no matter what it may be or no matter what the child's capability may be, as a teacher, you try your best with every child when they come into your class. So even though you may, from experience, you may able to see, you may be able to see that this child is not necessarily cut out for HIV, or this child is not necessarily HIV's material. So you may not want to tell the parents that, but at the same time, you are now putting in that extra effort with this child because you really want this child to excel. And lo and behold, 2 or 3 months down the line, the parents lose interest, and hence the child also loses interest. So this was something that I thought I'd also touch on, because it's also something that comes up often at the beginning of the year where we want to enroll our child in a class like this. And it's always, you know, right in the beginning of the year, the parents are all pumped up and, no, Mualima, we're going to stand by you and we're going to ensure that our child learns and, you know, all these things. You get all these types of promises. And really, as a teacher, you want to hear these things. Because the only time a child can excel, whether it be in their schoolwork or whether it be in their madrasa work, whether it be the memorization of Quran, is when a teacher and a parent work side by side with the child. From the institute, whether it be the school or the madrasa or the hifz class, the teacher's job is being done there, and the teacher puts in all the effort there. And then as soon as that child comes home, it is now time for the parent to put in their effort. And that effort that the parent puts in is so, so important. It is like, you know, when you're trying to stick something on the wall with two-way tape, and if you choose to take a piece of two-way tape that has been worn out on the one side, it's either the frame is going to fall off the wall, or it's either the frame is going to fall off the two-way tape and the tape is going to be stuck to the wall. Because it's either the sticky side was stuck to the wall or the sticky side was stuck to the frame. But it's not going to do the job that you want it to do, in that it's not going to be able to bond and stick the frame to the wall like you want it to. So this is how, this is what our job is like. I know it was quite a simplistic example, but this is what our job is like as parents and teachers. We need to be there for our children from both sides so that we can ensure that it becomes easy for them to become practical Muslims. Let's always continuously remind them about their goal being Jannah, no matter how old or how young they may be, and let's help them walk along this pathway that will get them to Jannah, inshallah. And that is in constantly encouraging them to be practical Muslims. So, I think basically, alhamdulillah, we've covered all spheres and all aspects of how we as parents should encourage our children, how we can encourage them, and what would be best for us to do for them as parents. Let's take a short nasheed break. When we return, inshallah, I answer some of your questions that have come in. Welcome back, and yes, we are speaking about how we decide on our children's maktab education, the institute that we choose for them, how we can make it as exciting as possible for them on the first day of their madrasa. And what else did we cover? We also spoke about how it is so important for us as parents to be there by their side, hand in hand with the teacher, so that we may be those pillars of support and strength that our children so much need. If one of these pillars of strength is lacking, the foundation will crumble and fall. So let it not be such. Let it be that our children, inshallah, have both sides of support. They have the support from the home, and they have the support from the teacher. Some questions coming in. One sister asking, I'm assuming it's a sister, but yeah. The question coming in and asking, how do I know that my child is ready to memorize the Qur'an, for Hifzul Qur'an? Very, very important question, and at the same time a very tricky question. As I was saying, not every child is cut out to do Hifzul Qur'an. Some children may be excited about the concept because it really makes them feel, you know, once we tell children about the virtues and the benefits of becoming Hafizul Qur'an and all of this, it may really make them excited. And this may spur them on and may make them want to do it. But how do you know whether your child will be ready to do it or not? Whether your child has the capability of doing it or not? Well, there is actually no way of doing, there is actually no way of knowing that unless you try it out. So give the child some time and try it out with the child for a week or 2 weeks. But let's ensure that if this child has this burning desire to want to do this Hifzul Qur'an within their heart, then in my opinion as a teacher, I'm telling you that every child is capable of being Hafizul Qur'an, right? I know this may sound a bit contradictory because a few minutes ago I just told you that not all children are cut out, but when we speak to children and when we see how motivated children are sometimes to become Hafizul Qur'an, this really melts my heart. And this really makes me feel like I want to go that extra mile with this child because of their zeal and their enthusiasm to do it. And really, if your child wants to do it, then put the effort in as a parent as well and help this child walk along this path. The other question the sister is asking is that, how do I know when an institute is the right one for my child in terms of maktab and madrasa, I'm sure she's speaking about? Well, every child has different needs. If your child is a small child, a young child, my own personal opinion, alhamdulillah, with the decade or more of teaching experience that I have, is that when a child is very small and it's the first time that you're taking them to attend a maktab or a madrasa, then ensure that it is one where your child is going to be getting a one-on-one education. Another thing is that try and make it such that your child is going to a female, because generally the females are a little bit more easier with the smaller ones, and by them going to a female when they are smaller, this kind of allows them to bridge that gap between going away from mommy and being away from mommy, and they, because it's another female that they're interacting with, they feel a little bit more comfortable. But at the same time, some children may feel just fine, interacting with a male ustad, and he may be excellent at teaching the younger ones. So it's all up to you. but ensure that when your child is young, you give them this one-on-one education, because this is where the foundation of maktab starts. If your child doesn't have a very good experience in their formative years of maktab, they are never going to want to go back to maktab. Alhamdulillah, in my own experience, I have students that are going right up to grade 11 and still coming to our maktab, alhamdulillah. And this is all because their formative years of maktab education have been ones that they've enjoyed. And now that they are older as well, they continue to enjoy coming to madrasa, because the syllabus is always molded around them. And the things they learn in madrasa are contemporary things and things that they are excited to learn. So inshallah, let us, whether it be that we are teachers or whether it be that we are parents, let us ensure that we make our children's dini education something exciting for them, something that they want to learn about, because at the end of the day, this is what will carry them into Jannah, inshallah. And it is our duty. The Prophet ﷺ has told us that it's the duty for us as parents to put our children at an institute, to place them in an institute where they will get a good and sound dini education. It's now time for me to love you and leave you until we meet next week, same place, same time. From me, Zakira and Sirmia, I bid you farewell and ask you to remember me in your special du'as. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.